So I am still working on a message about men. It is a subject I'm familiar with. However, that was the message I thought I was going to be delivering today. And when I sat down and tried to, it was just like there was nothing. It was crickets. I don't know if you ever, I mean, I'm not just talking about writer's block. I'm talking, it's like, I became a squirrel. I could not focus. I said, okay, Lord, I'm not fighting this. I'm not going to try to force something today. And as I, through the week, the Lord just kind of helped me out with some things. And so I said, okay, Lord, I want to do what you want to do. And so we've just done some various things. And by the way, for you who don't know, the trucks did make it down to North Carolina safely. And all the stuff that was provided got there. And they were full semi-trucks coming out of Morrow County. And people, just amazed. Don't ever look down on somebody because they're small. I'm going to tell you right now, there are counties that are more wealthy. There are cities that have more money, more people. And the fact that this county has sent down not once, but twice. And this time they took down campers. And so we're going to watch what God's going to do. So as I began to pray, I was like, Lord, and he started showing me some things that have happened out this week. And so I want to, if you will, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 9. It says, what shall we say then, that Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith. But as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone of stone and rock of offense. And whoever will believe on him will not be put to shame. I recently saw a meme, and I can't remember who put it up. But it says, that what is the difference between religious and spiritual people? Religious people will only do what is legally right. Spiritual people will do what is right because it's right. Now, I know you're saying, we're supposed to obey the laws of the land. Da, 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 da. The laws of the land are subject to God. If God tells you to feed somebody, the government says don't feed, who are you obeying? You better obey God. Because the laws of the land will be judged by God. The people who brought those laws about will be judged by God. And that's what we need to be careful on. Well, I'm not going to be a friend. I'm not going to talk to them. They're of a different color. They're of a different skin tone. They're of a different faith. I'm not going to put my pearls before the swine. You do realize you were a pig too, right? Before the gospel, we were all considered pigs. Gentiles. Dogs. Dogs did not have the status they have today. My dog, he's the laziest thing I ever did want to see. Most of us would have been fired. But you know what? He is faithful. He's a good dog to have around. But we were once people who just lived by whatever. No real convictions. We did what we want, as we pleased. I've seen things through the years that I'm like, okay, they had the legal right. Why didn't they do it? But they did something else. They did what was right. That's kind of a hard concept to get hold of sometimes. They could have benefited greatly from doing what they had legally right, but they chose something else. And, you know, just like, Etch-a-Sketch reset, right? But spiritual people will know what's right. Well, you need to go in there and talk to that person. Whereas the people who are religious, oh no, don't go in there. You don't want to be seen with them. See, the benefit of having the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit can tell you when to go in and when not to go in. The Holy Spirit will be screaming, do not go in there. Your guts will be doing somersaults. You go, if you have been truly bound by alcohol, God's not going to send you into a bar. I don't believe so. I do believe, however, if you have overcome it and it no longer rules you, God can. I would have no problem. However, I'm not going to the Dirty 30. Because it doesn't matter. One, that's not a place I need to be. I'll stand here and tell you, all that stuff is perversions. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, it was a strip club bookstore. We live in a time where people have said he became all things to all men. I've known Christians who sat down and they started smoking joints. Yeah, becoming addicted to pot isn't the way to go. But I'll go have a shot with you. Well, if that one could turn into two, anybody's ever done that knows one always turns into two. And you can't help somebody who's drowning in their sorrow. But if you're somebody that God has said, you need to go talk to that person. You had better go talk to that person. You may get in there and find out we have something in common. And God sent me in here, and I'm the only person that person can talk to. Harold, you've got experiences on this planet other people have never had. You can tell them a lot. I'm going to tell on him. I heard somebody tell me the other day, this is the most happy man I have ever met. Some of you don't know what he's battled just to stay here on the planet. God is good, isn't he, brother? It's not for you to understand why on all things. Sometimes we just need to trust God. The other day, I forget where I was coming from. I had two different ways I could go. Oh, I was coming from Columbus. I was like, well, I was coming from the VA, and I said, I can go this way to go to this place, or I can go this way. The other way's slower. I can get there quicker by going 270. I got a mile from 71. The traffic stopped. I said, you tried to tell me, didn't you, Holy Spirit? Go down 161. As I went by the 161 sign, the Holy Spirit was saying, turn left, turn left. Oh, I'll just keep on going. I get down there and the traffic stopped. If you've been on 270 at 2 in the afternoon, 2:30, traffic's starting to pick up. And they aren't going slow. And I'm at a dead stop. I was like, okay. I turned on my flash and said, okay, Lord, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. And I got right on to 71. But just Just subtle little things like that. We think we know best. I just didn't want to go down 161. It's got a lot of stoplights. It also has Bojangles chicken, but I just ate. I didn't want to be tempted. And I still want some Bojangles chicken. But you know, that's the subtle things that the Holy Spirit leads us in. Now, I may have failed there, and you're saying, oh, you just sound like you're just failing listening to the Holy Spirit all the time. Well, I'll tell you one area that I usually don't, and that's when God says do something for somebody else. Most of my times I ignore him. It's me. It affects only me. Just because, it's not that I doubt him, it's just I've been thinking on it way too long. But if God says, go pay for their lunch, I'll go buy their lunch. I paid for a couple's lunch one time over here at Edison, sitting back here in the corner. It was an old man and an old woman. I think they might have been brother and sister. And I went up and I told Brenda, I said, I want to pay for their meal. She said, the people back there. I said, yeah. She said, well, that was a relative of hers. She just lost her husband. Just a little thing. But you see, folks, it's by faith we do things. God, I don't know the ramifications of buying that woman lunch. I don't know what it did. I can imagine it brought her some peace. Yeah, God, you're still there. You haven't left me. Sometimes we try to get so strict on our religion. God, I won't go here. I won't do this. I won't listen to that. God showed me years ago he can speak to me through anything. Some of you, if you were here back in the day and I did a message, it was called The Gospel According to Cheap Trick. I had people walk out of here, they, oh, you didn't listen to a thing I said because you got offended because I said it was a secular song called The Flame. Now you all know the song. And I pointed out nearly everything they said is in the Bible. Nearly everything they put in there, I could show you in the Bible where Jesus said that. Oh, what's that got to do with anything? God showed me one night that song came on the radio. And I really like it. It's a love song. It's a romantic song. And he showed me, I can speak to you. I can speak to you in anything if you'll listen. The song is about never leaving you. That he will always be the flame. And so I've tried to listen to every little thing. Like I said, be careful on what you do listen to. There's a lot of garbage, to and include, in the Christian realm. But God can speak through a donkey. I used the big word last week. No, I'm not going to repent of it. It's in your Bible. And just because I related it to me, maybe you needed that. Because sometimes I am. But God still uses me. God can still use you. But we try to keep so much away from us. We don't want any kind. We don't want any kind of pressure coming against us. I'm not saying you go out and you act like the world. You had better not be acting like the world. You had better get your lives lined up with God's word. Well, sounds like me, you're acting like the world, going listening to Cheap Trick. You might want to get over yourself. Would you really like me to tell you how some of your favorite Christian artists have struggled? And by the way, I'm not judging them, and I'm not going to tell you who they are. One, I know, had an affair with another one. Two big ones. Another man, I love his music, but he battled with alcohol. He would go on stage drunk because he was still hurting. He battled it and he overcame it. He said people didn't know. Nobody knew. And he came from a Christian group before he became a solo artist. I don't tell you that to tell to tell on them. I tell you that to tell you God can use anyone if they're willing. He didn't walk away from God. He just had a struggle. And we can say what we want about the Apostle Paul. Paul said, I have a thorn in the flesh and I've asked God three times. And what did God say? My grace is sufficient for you. He wouldn't take it. Well, this was an ailment. He had a limp. Oh, for crying out loud. If he had a limp, he would have said a limp. But it was something he was embarrassed by. That's why he left it vague. Y'all all noticed that I twitch, right? If you hadn't, pay attention. Clothes, shirts make my shoulders itch. My neck. And you ought to try sitting in a deer stand being really quiet and still going, I'm hot. Jesse watched me so much, he does it. And no idea why. I looked at him and said, why are you doing it? I don't know. I said, I do. You need to watch somebody else for a while that don't twitch. But we build up a life based on laws and rules. That's what the Jews did. They had a life, they still do, based on these rules. It says Jesus became a stone, a rock of offense. Caused people who live by that. Do you remember Jesus healed on the Sabbath? But yet according to the Jews, it was illegal. He walked through a field of wheat, him and his disciples, and they plucked some of the heads off and they rolled them in their hand and they ate the seed. And they came down, oh, you can't do that. You're working. But yet the Jews will create laws to go circumvent the law they have. Anybody know why Value City is called Value City and not Schottenstein? Because if it has their name, they have to take Saturday off. And everybody knows Saturday is a big shopping day for families. The Schottenstein store in Columbus was not open on Saturdays. It opened up on Sunday. That's ridiculous. You missed the point. But Jesus did all that stuff. He saw their laws. How about David? David and his men were hungry and they came into the tabernacle and there was the showbread and they ate it. According to the word, they should have been put to death. According to the law, they should have been killed. Pretty sure David became the king after that and died in his bed. See, God wasn't about all the legalism we created. He gave us one rule. One rule. Can you think about that for just a second? Don't touch my tree. But we're all that three-year-old. We want to touch it. Now, I've come to the revelation, and I think it's a revelation, that somebody else may have touched the tree. But it was Adam who mattered. Adam was the covering. Eve ate of it. Eve touched the tree first, but she didn't have the revelation, did she? It was only when Adam touched it, when Adam ate it. When he ate it, they got the revelation of what sin was. Sin is doing the opposite of what God wants you to do. If God says, be here, be here. If God says, feed them, feed them. But we can't be afraid of a little opposition in our lives. I'm not afraid of any party. Something I learned the other night in that movie when they were asking Ronald Reagan about the communists. Senators and congressmen were asking him about the communists and how that, if he thought they should outlaw, ban them from being in the country, period. He said, absolutely not. He said, you let them stay here. Democracy is strong enough to withstand that. Democracy is liberty, freedom. And only until we let people tell us that boys are girls and girls are boys, and that there's 264 identities, we have highly educated people doing this. I told you last week why. God gave them strong delusion to believe that lie. And you better rejoice. I am. It's like, oh, they have to fall. The church is believing some of this garbage too. There comes the falling away. We're falling away from things. You don't necessarily take what the news has to say with a grain of salt. Because the reality is they've been lying for a long, long time. And if you're a person of faith, they're going to lie even more. But I want you to understand God only wants you to trust him in faith. Israel never attained righteousness. Still hasn't. Because they do not believe by faith that God, who God is. Many Jews to this day deny there is a God. But they sure like that status. I pray they find their Messiah. And they realize that all the stuff they thought was important was garbage. I've had, you know, some people, and you may still be in here, I don't know. Well, you got a tattoo, you're going to hell. But one, it doesn't say I'm going to hell. Nowhere does it say that. It said, do not tattoo or mark yourself in memory of the dead. That's what it said. But the Jews believe that if you have a tattoo, you can't get into Abraham's bosom. So what about all those believing Jews who were in the concentration camps? They've all got tattoos on their arms. What about them? Do you think God's going to judge them based on a law? No, he's not. People preach that babies are gone. When a baby dies, it just... No. I followed with the Jews on this. 13 is the age of accountability. That's when they believed a boy became a man and a girl became a woman. And they started treating them different. We said, oh, well, we need to be special with our kids. Are you kidding me? We've got people between 20 and 40 now acting like they're three. I ain't getting my way. I'm going to drop on the floor and I'm going to scream and have a fit. How did that work out for us? It isn't. I believe that when a child dies, they go to God. That's what I believe. Because the other one doesn't have any standing anyhow. At least I'm standing on the fact that my God is a merciful and loving God. And he's holding me accountable for me. Because I trust in him in faith and in, for my righteousness. Not. Well, I said my three in Jesus' name today. I did this. I read three books of the Bible today. I am righteous. This thought has occurred to me before. How many of you only talk to God when you want something? You don't have to show your hand. I'm not saying you can't talk to God about it. He said ask, right? But how many times that's the only time you talk to him? What if your kids only came to you when they wanted something? Now, put yourself back in that parental shoe. If that's all we're talking to God about is we want something done. Well, I spend my whole time telling him how great he is. That's good. He's got creatures he created for eternity that stand around and do that. You were created for fellowship. As a father, I can say it does me good to watch my children. Yesterday, Joshua was doing some breaks. I dropped Carter off. And I went in, pulled up a chair, and sat there and watched him, and we just talked. He didn't tell me how great of a dad I was. But it's moments like that that mean the world. And then to get to spend time with his kids, it's wonderful. I spent time with Carter yesterday. He works with me. He loves to pick up sticks and rake and you name it. That kid just loves to do it. He's going to have a ball when I cut down that maple tree. There's going to be sticks all over the yard. But yesterday I said, you know what, buddy? Grandpa's going to teach you to do something new. Okay, what am I going to do? He already knew he was going to get the leaf blower. I've got battery-powered leaf blowers. He was already excited about that. I said, Grandpa's going to teach you how to use the weed eater. I got a battery-powered weed eater I bought. Works great between the hostas because it's not powerful enough unless you really put it into them to cut them up. And I can shrink it down. I said, all right, let's see how you can do it. And he's, I forgot. But he said, you got to push that button with your thumb and take his fingers and pull the trigger. Okay. He's trying to do it and... I missed it on the camera, but it was hilarious. He's standing there. He's just getting more and more frustrated. He said, come on, thumb. I was like, I looked over. I started recording it after that. It's like, oh, he's going to say something hilarious here in a second. And then that's when I realized, even as the father, grandfather figure in his life as well, his hand isn't big enough. And he couldn't hold the front of it up anyhow. So I said, all right, maybe next year you'll be big enough. So I come out with the great big one, you know, the big still. And he's like, oh, let me run that, Grandpa. I said, you couldn't run that one. You can't run this one. But he's learning. He's learning things. But the greatest thing I think I could ever teach him is about faith. About trusting God. That doesn't matter how imperfect you are, and I hope and pray that you are striving for perfection, maturity. Don't stop just because it got hard. Just like Reagan said, just because there's communists, we need to continue, basically. We need to stand. We need to keep pushing for freedom. Because the people today that are pushing for communism, they're the ones that are living in a fairy world. Ukraine was supposedly free when I went there, but I'm going to tell you right now, seeing those buildings that Russia put up and the buildings that were left unfinished, they're still there. Millions of dollars wasted on some that they started and then walked away from. And there was an oppressive spirit. And you go to their parks, and in all their parks they have huge statues erected to their military leaders and the leaders of communists. Why not tear those down? I think we learned something when we invaded Babylon. Iraq. Capital. Baghdad. Don't know why it wasn't coming, but you've probably seen the video. Marines pull up with a recovery tank, and they spun around and they sent a corporal up on the end of that, and they hung the American flag over Saddam's head. And then they took that American flag off and they put the Iraqi flag over, threw a rope around, a chain around it, and pulled it down. You need to do that in your life. Pull down those things in your life that represents the oppression. Things that are going to remind you, you can never have enough, you can never be good enough. Tear them down and walk away from them. But you got to be willing to fight for it. See, that's the problem. Those people aren't willing to fight for it. They want to come over here and live with it with us, right? Oh, come on. There's a price to pay. Thomas Jefferson said that. There's a price to pay for freedom and liberty. And it's blood. And many of us in here have paid the price, or we had family members who have paid the price. And even before. We have to continue to be willing to stand for what's right just because it's right. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stand. I went a few minutes long, but that's okay. Your spot at the restaurant's still there. Or wherever you're going. But this week, I believe it's Monday evening at 6 p.m. There's been a time that's gone through for all believers to stop and pray. Pray for the election. I know many of you have already voted. I can see good and bad on it. I'm like, well, what's the point in having an election day if we can start voting a month early? But I don't know. I mean, people are trying to burn ballots. That's the problem. But if this is a change in things, it might work out good. I know Pat was telling us he got to vote early, and I thought about it. Just kept forgetting when I was by the thing. Oh, yeah. Yours didn't go in a drop box. But yeah, there's been three attempts on drop boxes to burn them. So, regardless of who's doing it, it's not right. But we will pray. And we will trust God. And Wednesday morning when we get up, we're not going to be filled with sorrow and boo-hoo-hoo. We're going to say, thank you, Lord. You're in charge. And I will follow you through the valley of the shadow of death. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. We really do. From everything that is within us, we are grateful, Lord, to live in this country. Now, Father, you know what's the pressure that's building in this country right now. Lord, we pray for peace. We pray, Lord God, that it will be undeniably, Lord God, that you will shut the mouths of the lions. Lord, I thank you for moving in this country, for moving in this body. Lord, for revealing your truth. Lord, that it's not by our works, by living by a law, but it's by faith through you. That sometimes we may need to eat the holy bread. But Father, I thank you that your Holy Spirit dwells within us. And that Holy Spirit, you move through us to convict us of when we're wrong and to lead us to what is right. And Father, I thank you that your word keeps moving powerfully. Father, for all the things that we're seeing. Lord God, the things that we aren't seeing that are behind the scenes, Lord, we will not be moved by reports. But Father, we will continue to stand. And now, Lord God, I thank you for your people today. I thank you, Lord, that you're in their lives, leading them and guiding them, Father, that you're drawing them closer to you. I ask, Father, that you continue to move mightily on their behalf as they step out this week, Lord God. Set your angels round about them. Lead them and guide them. In Jesus' name, amen.